Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
All right, back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And I know that we've been talking a lot about hockey because it is the Bills bye week, but it still technically is Football Friday here on WGR. And Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law Car Crash. Call Salino, call the 8s, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922. Brayton Wilson filling in here on the Extra Point Show. Our thanks to Paul Hamilton for not just for filling in also today for the first hour, but also filling in yesterday. Joining me now in studio, Owen Parker is joining me. He's been very busy over the last several days. Not only is he what is your official title?
My official title on the morning show is digital content producer.
Yes. So you're the digital content producer for the morning show, but you've also had to do it for the last 2 days because G has been out away doing whatever he's doing. So you're filling in again today.
Correct.
And now you're going to join me for an hour.
Long days over here at WGR Studios.
You make the money doing it this way, and you make your earnings and everything on the air doing it this way. Yeah. So appreciate you coming on and joining me for some fun talk for the next hour.
No problem. Happy to do it.
Yeah.
Excited to talk some hockey, a little football if we get to it too. So
yeah. Oh yeah.
Be fun.
Yeah. Anybody that wants to chime in too, feel free to join us. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550 are the numbers if you want to join us on the show. Talk some Sabres, talk some Bills, whatever is on your mind and you want to get off your chest or whatever. Feel free to let us know, join the program. All right, Owen, the Sabres getting their first win of the season over the Ottawa Senators on Wednesday night, 8-4 after not being able to find the back of the net and really struggling to find the back of the net. It literally took a shot off of a Bruins defenseman to score from Jason Zucker against the Bruins, and then a long distance shot from Tage Thompson that somehow made it through to even get on the scoreboard. But Wednesday, they erupted for 8 goals. I mean, what do you make of the team through the first 4 games?
I was impressed that they were able to dig themselves out of a hole, however significant that may be in one game. But I thought they came out flat again in that game against Ottawa. They no shots on goal for the first period other than some power play shots, 3, I believe, and just didn't look good again. And I was up in the press box thinking, this might get ugly here. Because, fans are restless for good reason. The players are restless, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. And from what I've seen in the locker room being down there, there was an anxiety in that building that they had to deal with and overcome. And they did that. And I was impressed by that, is my first thought about that game, was that they got themselves going in the right direction when it would have been pretty easy to just continue with the way things had been going.
And they even got themselves back in the right direction, too, even after a really abysmal start to the third period. Mm-hmm. Lindy Ruff calls his timeout, which I've heard some people, just in my circle with talks about the team, because you know, I like to have those types of discussions with other people, but I had one discussion where it was just like, Lindy Ruff saved the season there because I think if he didn't have a timeout there, if he didn't call the timeout there, usually in years past, it snowballs where, oh man, we're losing our multi-goal lead. What do we do? And then it ends up being just puck in the back of the net, puck in the back of the net, relentless pressure, puck in the back of the net. And Lindy Ruff did the right thing, called his timeout, and moments later the Sabres scored, and then they just continued to build on that.
Yeah, and you know, on that same point where you're talking about not letting things snowball, we heard Tage Thompson say something very similar post-game against the Avalanche, where he mentioned, last year we got ourselves into trouble because something bad would happen, and it would, as we said, snowball, and they wouldn't be able to get out of it. And things would just add up, and that's what we saw in the losing streak. That's what we saw in the comeback games against the Avalanche that started the losing streak. And it's just it's important to see that the team can face that adversity and overcome it, especially early in the season when there was so much just anxiety and tension around that team with the way that they started. The fact that they were able to deal with that and get through it, I think, was a massive win for the team, both obviously to get some points in the standings finally, and mentally for them to say, all right, we can get out of something, we can get ourselves out of a tailspin and really sort of re-course correct.
Yeah, and I think one of the catalyst pieces of at least the Sabres turnaround, or not turnaround, but just the way that they've been able to have any sort of competitive edge to their play has been the play of Alex Lyon in net.
Yeah.
He's been in net for all four games. He's had his moments where, you know, maybe a goal here or there was just like, that doesn't look great, but he's looked relatively good for them, and he's kept Buffalo in every contest one way or another.
Yeah, I think if you were expecting any more out of Alex Lyon to start the year, you were misguided.
Yeah.
Because he has played about as well as you could hope that a goalie at his level could play. If you're demanding more out of Lyon in any of these games, really, then you're looking in the wrong place. He was not getting goal support in his first few starts, regardless of how there was maybe one or two soft goals in each of those games that they did end up losing. It doesn't matter when you score 0-1-1. You're not winning those games.
No.
It's just not going to happen. And he looks in the net while playing the position. He looks really good to my eye as a goaltender and as a goaltender coach. He's calm. He's confident. He's making really good reads. He's holding his feet. He looks as solid as I could ever ask a guy to look. Unless you're talking about a Carey Price, Connor Hellebuck, Igor Shesterkin level talent in the net, he's doing the job as well as you could ask somebody to do it. And so in a year where that was a major question mark coming into the season, I wrote about it. It was a massive talking point before the season began. Like, what is going to happen in the crease for them? He has come in and just four straight solid performances, giving his team a chance to win. And that's as much as you could ever ask for.
Yeah, and I wrote in my bold predictions article that in the end, given I know that Lukanen is banged up, we've yet to see Colton Ellis yet play, but I predicted that he would play the majority of the starts this year. I think I predicted something like 46 games started or something like that. He's a guy that is a late bloomer, and I think that's a lot of the trend here in the NHL lately is all of a sudden, you know, if you're not one of these highly touted first round or early second round goaltenders that are being drafted, you know, maybe your time to bloom in the NHL as a prospect, as a goaltender, is in your early 30s or late 20s, because Alex Lyon is, what, 32? I think if I remember correctly, he's 32. You've got guys like Anthony Stolarz in Toronto, who's only, I think, 31 years old, who's playing well. Scott Wedgwood, who's 33, I think, in Colorado, who's playing extremely well. You've got some of these older goaltending players, prospects, you can't even really call them prospects anymore, but just guys who really had to work their way, go through the AHL, go through some really tough stretches to all of a sudden get those opportunities and find those hot stretches of play. And Alex Lyon is that latest example. And, you know, if Alex Lyon this season can be enough to help the Sabres find some stability in net, and whether it's Colton Ellis or Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen when he's healthy, kind of filling the gap in those other games where Alex Lyon needs a break here and there.
Right.
if you could get the solid goaltending while also getting the goal scoring that the Sabres have shown last year, and if, I mean, they didn't show it in the first three games, but if they can find a way to get that goal scoring that they got in the game against Ottawa, you might all of a sudden turn from being super pessimistic about the team like I was for the first three games to being all of a sudden, hey, they get a win against Florida, and all bets are off in terms of what happens from here.
Yeah, we talked about all summer. From everything I heard, the big question marks for this season were going to be what's going to happen in the crease, can the special teams figure it out, and will they score enough, right? Through the first four games, what do we know about those three questions? In the crease, line looks great. I am worried about playing him this much because he's not a guy that's had a career where he's done that. And like you mentioned, he is 32, and that can beat a guy down. But because he doesn't have those miles on his body, you can almost think of it like a running back in the NFL. James Cook, you talk about, doesn't have the miles that a typical running back would have.
Right.
Lyon might not have the typical reps that a goalie would have.
Yeah.
So that is good. So in the crease right now, you're in good shape. Lyon's there. You can trust him. What's Colton Ellis going to be? Is he even going to get in? I don't know.
Paul Hamilton seems to think that he's going to. He believes that Lukanen's going to go to Rochester, at least get a couple of conditioning games down in Rochester, yeah, which makes total sense.
As he should. With missing as much a camp as he did, you can't just throw him in there and expect him to perform. All right, so Lyon, the crease, all good for now, right? If something comes up, something comes up. But where we stand as of speaking, their goaltending looks good. Special teams. Penalty kill is unbelievable, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
When I spent time as a penalty kill coach in my time with Nichols as a full-time assistant, and that penalty kill is as staunch as you could ever ask for. They're tough to break the puck in on. They defend the middle of the ice really well. They keep pucks on the outside, and their goaltender's playing well. You've got those three factors on a penalty kill, you're in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
The power play woke up against Ottawa.
Which is good.
Which is great to see.
You get the first goal of the season on the power play off a fluke bounce, which, whatever.
Right. I tweeted right after that goal, I don't care how that goes in, that gets you up off the mat.
Yep.
Your power play wakes up, they smell one, and then we saw what happened. They go 3-for-3, and they have a great night, right? So, special teams, check. Can they score enough? That is where we're iffy right now,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know.
Got to show more than just one game.
Against a goaltender that had a tough night.
And Marilyn, it's not a bad goaltender.
No,
he's a decent backup, actually. He's young, but he's at least a decent backup that probably is going to be another one of those guys that if he's going to make it at the level,
right.
He's got to start as a backup and build his way up.
Right. I had some conversations about him heading into the game. I was of the opinion that the Sabres needed to get at him on that night. And they did, and that was great. But there were a lot of people like, look at his numbers. He's got good numbers. At that age, in that league, it is very easy to give one up, no matter how fluky, like we saw in that first goal on the power play, to get your confidence shaken, and then you're fighting. And that's, I think, a lot of what we saw from Marilyn the other night against Ottawa, is a guy that just, he had an off night, and he knew it, everybody knew it, everything was going in, and that's, you're not going to get that every night in the NHL.
Right.
You'll have a game here or there where you'll get a goalie that has a bad night, but you can't expect to win 30 games a year because you score six on a guy that can't stop a beach ball.
And the one thing that I always love looking at when it comes to today's NHL is like high danger chances and the advanced stats a little bit. But Natural Stat Trick still does a really nice job of tracking all of the Corsi numbers, the, you know, Fenwick and high danger chances, scoring chances. The thing I love looking at too, and it kind of reflects your eye test versus the analytics, is your heat map charts. Yeah. The first two games for the Sabres, you couldn't have been more stone cold right in front of the net or the high danger chances. And then the last two games, the Colorado game, you know, it started out rough, but it got better. And then this last game against Ottawa, they did exactly what they needed to do, get into the high slot, getting down below the hash marks,
right.
Get in front of the net. And it was burning hot red for the Sabres in that game against Ottawa. And it was a little better, like I said, against Colorado. But those first two games was just like
ugly.
Was very, very bad and ugly, especially at 5-on-5. And then the last two games were much better. And if they can find a way to continue to find that consistency, doing that, getting the high danger chances, fighting for positioning and doing whatever it takes to get into the danger areas, to get a rebound, to find a way to get a quick shot off. If they could build on that and find ways to do that, I think the Sabres are better off that way. Much better off.
Absolutely.
And they have the weapons to do it.
And that's part of what I believe that they spoke about all offseason as being their plan. Was we're going to be harder to play against, and that's not just fighting guys and hitting guys in the corner. That's getting to hard areas of the ice. That's getting to the front of the net and finding that spot that, whatever the percentage is, 70% of goals in the NHL come from, right directly in front of the crease, right? And so part of being hard to play against is exposing that fact and making other teams work hard to keep you away from that spot. And that is what we did not see enough of in the first few games, and what we've seen, you know, sort of gently taper up since we've really seen them have a little bit of success and then a great night against Ottawa. And that makes goalies' lives harder. We talked about, I had a conversation with Paul after game one, like, Shesterkin was good. He didn't give one up. How many saves did he have to make that looked hard?
If I remember correctly, reading Natural Stat Trick, their high danger chances the entire game, I think, was six. But right. At even strength, four.
Exactly.
That's and never going to cut it for you.
And not only where the shots are coming from, but traffic in front of him, difficulty moving laterally from one side of the crease to the other. It was all far too easy for the opposing defenders and for the goaltenders. And everything we're saying here about getting to the middle, playing harder, makes both of those groups' jobs harder. And that is everything that they need to do and everything that they have said that they will do to make up for the lack of scoring that they, you know, shipped out when we saw J.J. Paterka out the door.
Yeah. High danger chances was four for Buffalo at even strength and eight. And on the power play or in all situations, but for a team that put up 37 shots on goal, that's just nothing. Not acceptable.
And some of those high danger chances didn't reach the net.
Yeah.
They went wide or high or got blocked.
Right.
And so how many of those did Shesterkin really have to stop?
Honestly, there was two that I remember from that opening game. The one was Dahlin, who walked in from the point, made a really nice move, and then it was from a little more from distance, but still considered high danger. And then the other one was Alex Tuch in front of the net. He got stopped, and then he was like, Shesterkin was out of position, but he was falling out of position and couldn't put a puck in the net that was just sitting there in the crease. That was it, though. Other than that, that was maybe one of the easier 37 save shutouts that not, let alone Igor Shesterkin, but any goaltender will ever see.
That's a dream game for a goaltender.
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly is. By the way, practice has begun for the Sabres, and Matias Samuelsson is on the ice. He's wearing a normal jersey, and Paul tweeting out the defensive pairings in practice early on. He is paired up right now with Jacob Bryson, so it looks like that'll be your bottom pair defense going into tomorrow's game against the Florida Panthers. Zach Metsa, who got called up yesterday, and with Ryan Johnson going back down to Rochester, he's on the extra pairing with Mason Gjertsen. I don't understand why he's at the NHL that's a different discussion for another day. I was hoping that maybe we would get the chance to see Zach Metsa maybe play a little bit. Maybe Matias Samuelsson is your left shot defenseman and Metsa is your right shot guy.
That would make sense. They were forcing Johnson onto that offside.
And forcing Matias Samuelsson onto that offside, I'm not sure how that's going to work out as well. Also from practice, Justin Danforth not practicing. He left the game with a lower body injury the other night against Ottawa. And Jordan Greenway is on the ice once again, practicing in a yellow non-contact jersey. So that's good news there. Lines are Benson Kulik-Thompson, Josh Dunn, Tyson Kozak, Beck Malenstein, Josh Doan, Ryan McLeod, Alex Tuch, and then Zucker, Krebs, and Quinn. So a couple lines staying the same, a couple other lines looking a little bit different, but nothing really that sticks out too much. So maybe we're a little bit a ways away from seeing Jordan Greenway back out on the ice. But I was talking with Paul earlier. I'm interested to see how that complexion looks when Jordan Greenway comes back, because you mentioned the special teams. Jordan Greenway, one of the reasons why he was brought in was for his defensive play and his play in his own end. You know, you lose Justin Danforth, who was who's a really good defensive player as well.
Penalty killer.
Yeah.
But Greenway is one of the best penalty killers in the league.
Yes. He's got
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Long stick, knows how to use it, clogs up lanes, strong. He really helps with penalty kill, and that's a penalty kill that is strong now.
So. He's almost like a defenseman out there at times.
Oh, yeah.
When he's at forward, just with how smart he is playing in his own end. But he does have enough offensive skill that does allow him to be a forward. So, but you know, and also Jordan Greenway is not exactly the greatest skater, so maybe just putting him at the wing is probably what's best. 803-0550-1888-552-550 are the numbers here if you want to join Owen and myself for the final hour of the Friday edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. Owen, looking at the Florida Panthers, they started off strong, three straight wins to begin the year. That's without Alexander Barkov. That's without Matthew Tkachuk. Not that Dmitry Kulikov is a huge name on that team, but he's a veteran.
He matters.
He's probably out for the rest of the season with a hand injury. What do you see from the Florida Panthers given the circumstances with that team? And now they've lost three straight games, making it a little more interesting heading into this matchup on Saturday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, well, you certainly don't want to be playing a angry Florida Panthers team, but this is an angry Florida Panthers team without their best players. And no matter who you are in this league, no matter how good your team is, and Florida is as good as it gets when they're healthy, you can't overcome missing a guy like Barkov and a guy like Tkachuk and. Like, you just can't survive that. I liked fading them a little bit to start the year, regardless of the injuries, because at some point, you're going to run out of juice. Bobrovsky's old. They've done a good job of controlling his reps throughout the seasons to keep him able to perform in the playoffs and throughout the season. But that's going to run out eventually. He plays a style that is not conducive to a body that's breaking down. And you got to think at some point that empire will topple without, you know, an influx of younger talent or different new talent, which I wouldn't be surprised if they got their hands on. But just where they're at now, I don't...
They'll find a way to get somebody that will change the tide there.
Yeah, but I think that they are ripe to be pounced on. And the Sabres need to recognize that and understand where they're at, where they need to stack wins here after a bad start and in a season where you need to build back the faith of your fan base in both the organization and everyone involved. So it's a massive opportunity for the Sabres to jump on a team while they're down.
Yeah, a win like this, especially after the win you had Wednesday night against Ottawa, will go a long way towards stringing together something that could help you out. And the big thing, too, is that it's been a while since the Sabres have put together a string of successful games at the NHL. I mean, obviously, many years ago, they had the 10-game win streak. Other than that, I can only think of maybe one other instance in the last handful of years where they've won even five games in a row.
Yeah, they don't rip off wins like that very often.
Even in the year where they missed the playoffs by a point, I don't remember. I think they maybe had one stretch of games where they won five or six in a row, and That was it.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was a bunch of three games and, you know, two games. They need to go out and win more string of games other than just two or three in a row.
Right.
And then losing one or two, a handful there, and then, you know, end up losing more than three in a row. That was the frustrating part about 2 years ago when Don Granato, his last season before he got fired, was that team only lost four games in a row once. And then other than that, they didn't lose more than that in any such stretch. The problem was is they couldn't stretch together wins of right. two or three games
exactly.
consistently
they
enough.
They just couldn't get
it was
a roll going.
Lose two, win one. Lose three, win one. Lose three more, win two. Lose three more, win one. Win, you know, another one. Then you know, it just was so frustrating in that aspect. And then last year obviously was the downfall that they had. And Paul brings up multiple times, and I agree, the stretch of hockey before that 13-game winless streak, they were a playoff team. The
yep.
stretch after that 13-game winless streak, they were a playoff team. It was just that that losing streak, that winless streak, killed your season yeah. right off the bat.
Can't live with that.
803-0551, 888-552-550 are the numbers here. By the way, tomorrow's face-off between the Sabres and the Panthers is at 1 o'clock, which means pregame coverage here on WGR Sports Radio 550 will begin at noon with Brian Koziel. Derek and Joe, I believe, will be here for a one-hour version of the of Sports Talk Saturday on WGR between 11 and 12. Brian will take over there. Paul Hamilton, obviously, will be down at the arena for locker room interviews and just providing coverage along with Brian. All right, when we come back, I'm really excited to do this because I've come up with, I don't know, Owen, if you've ever heard of NHL Connections.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I have one here that I want to test your knowledge on, and I'm not entirely sure, because I mean, I've just got the one here with the list of players, but I'm sure there are other people that are just like, oh, hey, there's a connection that's fewer than this.
Right.
And it's always bound to happen. But I came up with one, and I definitely want to go through it with you to see what we can come up with. And Joe, you can chime in as well and join in on the fun here. Looking forward to this and testing Owen's knowledge here. It's a hint, because he's the giant goalie expert, it's goalies for the
here
most
we go.
Part. Brayton Wilson, Owen Parker, Joe Calley on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here. Two more segments to go on this Friday on WGR.
And Ottawa will bring it back. 7 minutes as they get to center remaining in the third. Dylan Cousins with a shot. Glove high, and Alex Lyon just waves at it and snares that out of the air.
I was waiting for you, Joe, to play a little lion sounder, like the lion roar, like the Sabres do.
Only one I have like that is of Bulldog making that sound, I think. So I don't know if I have an actual lion sound.
Although I remember that conversation that your dad and Mike had about the when the Panthers have the roar, and it's just, oh my God.
I'm not going to try and imitate him doing it and do a disservice to my father, but I could.
Roar.
Yeah. No, I'm all good. It is unbelievable that they do that. That makes me laugh every time.
Yeah, we've been having a good conversation about Alex Lyon and you know, his impact on the Sabres here in his four games that he's been with the organization. It's been very interesting so far. Yes, we know it's only four games into a season, but man, you know, it's nice to see that the Sabres have a veteran guy that has been able to carry the load with Luke in and out. We still don't know what Colton Ellis is, and hopefully we get the chance to look at it before he, I would anticipate, goes back on waivers and probably gets reclaimed by St. Louis. But
likely that will
happen. Because then at that point, if no other team put in a claim for him, then the Blues would claim him,
grab him back.
And then just send him right back to the AHL, because the NHL works that way, where, hey, guy goes on waivers, another team claims him. I'll never forget years ago, Owen, I'd be impressed if you remembered this, but Derek Grant. Remember Derek Grant?
I do remember Derek Grant.
I remember when Derek Grant was on the team. Tim Murray was still the general manager at the time. He was placed on waivers with the hope that he would go down to Rochester. And I'm trying to remember who claimed him. I think it might have been Anaheim that claimed him. And it was so funny because Tim Murray was livid.
He was
so PO'd that Derek Grant got claimed off waivers. And I remember him in one of his press conferences, or maybe even here with you know, the afternoon show, mentioning something about how he was so upset about the waiver process and everything like that. And it was just like, Derek Grant's not exactly the greatest player. He's probably going to go on waivers, and you can reclaim him again. Well, lo and behold, he gets put on waivers like a few days later, gets reclaimed by Tim Murray, and then nobody else claimed him, so he could go back down to Rochester. It's just the stupid things like that I remember,
yeah.
And it's so funny, and my wife will come back to me and say, hey, did you remember to get bread from the store?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oops.
You know what Derek Grant's nickname on Hockey References?
I love Hockey Reference nicknames. Ooh, give it to me. Come on.
A lot of them.
1C.
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 That's funny. I remember there was a situation a couple years ago similar to this where Kyle Dubas was very upset at the Arizona Coyotes.
Oh, who did
for
they
claiming
call?
Harry Sateri, goaltender.
Oh my God, Harry Sateri. What?
Sateri has never done anything
Nothing.
Ever in the league.
I don't even think he's in the NHL anymore.
I remember it being a story where Dubas was furious that they lost Harry Sateri to waivers.
Harry Sateri is 35 years old and he's playing in Switzerland. Right?
Yes.
We have a exactly. Stat correction. Elite 1C.
Elite 1C. Even better. Even better.
Derek Grant, elite. Who the heck gave him that nickname?
So horrible.
Derek, I think I can count on one hand how many points Derek Grant has had in the NHL.
Is it one or two? You probably could do it on one. Like, that'd be really
right.
Funny.
Derek Grant. Nope, that's not the right Derek Grant. Hockey player.
The drummer.
Okay, yeah, I think so. I think that was one. Derek Grant, who, by the way, is still playing, looks like.
Where?
He's playing in Switzerland, ZSC Lions. He's under contract. Yep, one more year of under contract over there. His NHL stats, pulling them up real quick. Okay, he's got more than... Oh, okay. Oh, wow. He actually has more points than I thought.
In Switzerland or...
No, in the NHL. NHL. He played...
He had his day where he played
10 years in the NHL.
Yeah.
He put up 132 points, and I can't even tell you if I remember one point he had with the Sabres.
Ooh,
can't even tell you one point.
Remembering a Derek Grant point. This is good.
And it's amazing because actually he scored 54 goals with Anaheim. Holy crap.
It's because he had three assists only on the Sabres.
I remember, sense. I think he was in line to score his first NHL goal with the Sabres. And I think it happened to him multiple times. He was in line to score his first NHL goal with the Sabres or whoever he was playing with, Nashville. He got claimed by Nashville. And I think it happened where in Nashville and in Buffalo, he was in line to score his first NHL goal, and both times it got taken away by coaches' Ooh. Challenges. I think the one in Buffalo was for an offside, and I think the one in Nashville was for goalie interference.
Do you think he hates the offside review as much as Jeremy does?
Who doesn't hate them?
I know.
Who doesn't
hate
them?
It's a lot of hate. For that rule.
The only reason those should be in existence is for the most egregious of the calls.
Yeah, the Matthew Shane call that caused it to.
And in that case, be like the NFL where it's just like, okay, replay assist is helping you out here. That was offside by a mile. Or, oh yeah, no, replay assist is indicating that that's goaltender interference.
Right.
That's the only reason that it should happen.
Yeah.
Enough with this challenging bull crap. I'm tired of it. Enough of it. All right, Joe, do you want to grab some hockey music? If you can do that,
what does that even mean?
Let's do our fun little activity here. For people that don't know NHL connections, and Owen, you can feel free to chime in and help explain this too if I miss something. NHL connections is a little game where you have one player from today's NHL or whenever you want to have it, and you try to find connections that go back to a player way back in the past. So the one that I saw recently was connecting Matthew Schaefer, the first overall pick of the Islanders this year, to Brian Trottier.
Oh, man. Okay.
So Islanders connections.
Right.
So I figured, all right, let's have a goaltender connection, Sabres goaltender connection, to test your knowledge. So,
Owen, do here.
I am asking you, please connect Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen to Tom Barrasso.
Ooh.
I have 4 players that all have played and have connected from UPL to Tom Barrasso.
Okay.
And again, this is just one example, and I'm sure somebody's going to say, oh, well, remember this guy played with that guy that led to this guy that led to that guy that led to Tom Barrasso. I've got one example here.
I am not great at these things. So I need to get to the Blues he played for a bunch of different teams.
He played for a bunch of different teams.
He played for Pittsburgh. He played for Ottawa. played for the Leafs.
I'll give you a hint. I based it solely on getting back to his time playing with the Sabres. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
And I'm sure somebody's going to be like, oh yeah, well, there's only like one or
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Two players that can connect them. I have four players, so.
Okay.
So connect four in this instance.
And I'm trying to get as low as I can. Man, this is tough. All right, so who's the oldest guy on the Sabres now? How old is Zucker? Zucker's old.
Jason Zucker, I believe, is 32.
So Zucker's played for Pittsburgh. That's it, right? Minnesota?
Jason
Minnesota
Zucker
too?
Is 33 years old, started in Minnesota, then went to Pittsburgh, and then played 1 year with Arizona. 1 year with Nashville, and then the last two with Buffalo.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to Zucker's. I go back to Zucker with Pittsburgh with Crosby. Crosby back to Lemieux? No. Were they together for 1 year? I'm too young.
That they were.
They were.
They were.
And then did
Crosby's
Lemieux
rookie year
play with Barrasso?
Yeah, that would
Bang.
Do it. There you go.
How about that?
Nicely done. Nicely
that's,
done.
That's three, right? Zucker, that's Crosby, Lemieux.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
There you go. That's
I,
nicely
I
done.
I got to tell you brought this up, and I thought, I'm in trouble. And I got there. So I'm pretty pleased with that.
I mean, nicely done. The thought process I had is a lot more complex
I'm
than
curious
that.
Where you got to.
All right. So here's the one I came up with. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen played with James Reimer last year.
Ooh, good one.
James Reimer then played with Joffrey Lupul way back in the day with the Leafs during his rookie season. Joffrey Lupul played with Sergei Fedorov with the Anaheim Ducks during his rookie season. And this is me just going rookies. I don't know why I did this.
Just
but
for fun.
There's so many ways that you can have fun with this.
I know.
And I love it.
I love
this
that part.
Element about it. And also another fun rule that ties in with Pittsburgh here. If you could just pick anybody that can find a way to connect to Jaromir Jagr, you're most likely going to connect back into the picture there. So from Joffrey Lupul to Sergei Fedorov. Sergei Fedorov played with Yui Krupp.
Ooh, what a name.
In
Britain.
Detroit. And then Yui Krupp connects with Tom Barrasso.
That's a good one. Well done.
There you go.
Not as efficient as me, but
I will say
more interesting than
listen.
Me,
I the first time I heard this game played, I loved it immediately because I was thinking in my head, okay, who do I connect here with this? And how did Matthew Schaefer? How can you connect him with Brian Trottier?
Yeah.
And the way that it was done, I think there was three ways that they came up with, and every one of them was Jaromir Jagr to Brian Trottier because Trottier played for the Penguins in the 90s.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. This is a fun game. This is a fun game. And the way you did it was awesome. It was kind of a nice little cut into it because obviously Jason Zucker to Crosby and because Crosby
got some chunks there.
Crosby and Lemieux crossed briefly,
right, 1 year and
in
then,
his
like,
rookie
Crosby
year.
Crosby was living with him, and yeah, absolutely.
Yep, and then Mario Lemieux obviously was part of.
I always doubt myself when I'm
the Barrasso teams
these
in the '90s,
and I know them.
Yeah, so that's a fun activity. I definitely want to be able to come up with more of that because, man, that is just so much fun. That's so much fun to do that type of game, and I wanted to try it out today. We got it.
We did it.
Nicely
done. We got it done. We got there.
All right. 803-0551, 888-552-550. We'll close out the show in just a little bit here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. By the way, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And, of course, it is Football Friday, and Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And also by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel, game day ready since 1922. Brayton Wilson. And Owen Parker, Joe Calley here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
To Terry in a couple of seconds, and Silverberg the other way to Grant, shorthanded off of Forsberg. Score! Followed up by Derek Grant.
The dunk. Is that his first NHL goal? Probably not.
Who cares?
I don't know. I just found one.
Hold on.
That's awesome.
I have to look now. When did Derek Grant actually score his first NHL goal? Because, again, he had a couple instances while he is with the Sabres where it was taken back. One with the Sabres, one with the Predators, I think. Okay, so he would have scored his first NHL goal in Anaheim because right after the 16-17 season, he went to Anaheim. And he his first NHL game, he scored two goals against Montreal. October 20th. Which, by the way, speaking of first NHL goals, I've been compiling a list of like guys to score their first NHL goal against Buffalo. And the other day, I had him on my list, and the video came up. It was a game back in the tank year, 2014-15. Sabres Ducks. Wild Bill Carlson.
Oh.
William Carlson.
Wow.
Scored his not just first NHL goal, but first two. NHL goals.
Forgot he was
against the Sabres.
The Ducks. That's hilarious.
Yeah, and I've got this list. I've compiled it, and I hope to continue to build on it because, man, there's some
names on there.
Wild names on here. Of course, you got to throw Alex Nedeljkovic in there because he scored his first NHL goal as a goalie against the Sabres last year.
I was thinking, like, can I think of the last one? And that was the first one that popped in my head. It was Nedeljkovic.
Michael Kesselring scored his first NHL goal against the Sabres.
That's right.
Now he plays for the Sabres. I'll throw some names out here at you. Caden Gooley, first NHL goal against Buffalo.
Right.
Moritz Seider scored his first NHL goal against the Sabres in overtime, by the way.
I remember that.
Yep.
I thought he was going to be so much better than he is now. Seider. He's fine.
I think he's still good. It's just I think the hype surrounding him was way over the top.
I bought into it. I thought he was really special. I just thought he had a lot of attributes that were going to translate, and they just...
Alexis Lafreniere scored his first NHL goal against the Sabres in overtime. I think it was the very same game. Keandre Miller scored his first NHL goal against the Sabres.
That's right. It was the same game.
Going a little back further, Sam Steele, Brett Howden, Neil Pionk, Travis Sanheim, Matthew Tkachuk scored his first goal against the Sabres. Travis Konechny scored his first goal against the Sabres. Zach Hyman, Curtis Lazar, Dougie Hamilton.
Dougie.
Of all people, Brad Marchand. And there is a player that happened to score his first NHL hat trick against the Sabres. So first NHL goals,
ooh,
which resulted in a hat trick. Do you remember? 2010.
2010?
Yep.
I'm not going to have it.
Derek Stepan.
Derek Stepan.
I remember watching that game, too. Steven Stamkos also scored both his first NHL goals against the Sabres in the same game. That'll do it for us. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks to Owen Parker. Thanks to Paul Hamilton. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Wrap it up for the weekend. Sabres Live, radio-only Sabres Live, coming up next on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.